Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Speak to us, O Lord, through your holy word. Bind us together as people of Christ so that your story becomes our living story. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Listen now to this word from Acts, chapter 4, verses 23 through 33. This is after Pentecost, and the church is really starting to take shape and form. And we meet Peter and John here at the beginning of this section, after they have been released from prison. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. And you spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and to perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. And all the believers were one in heart and mind, and no one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything that they had. With the great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and the Lord's grace, and God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all. This is the word of God for the people of God. So on this weekend where we celebrate our unity as Americans, the 4th of July from 1776, we talk about the birth of this nation coming together. It is hard not to look at the last few weeks and the news that has happened and realize that in all the ways we may find unity as Americans, we're also very divided, not only as Americans, but as people of the world. The two bombings and shootings this week in Istanbul and Bangladesh have reminded us of the furthering cycle of violence and fear that we accept now as part of our lives. Add to this the contentious Brexit vote that you divided the United Kingdom 2 weeks ago, our own divisive election cycle, and you start to get that point, you start to realize, ooh, there's a lot of division out there. There's a lot of people seemingly invested in dividing ourselves as opposed to uniting. And the divisions between one another have seemingly become more tangible. You can touch them, standing right before our eyes, taking various forms of politics, religion, culture, technology, fear. And dwelling on these deep fissures just drags us to a really bad place. I don't know if y'all feel that, but I feel that. The place it takes you to is not good. Makes you feel hopeless. Makes you feel despair. And so, as I've been taking this news in this week, I've been trying to counterbalance all that mess, all these obvious divisions, by meditating on the things that bind us together as human beings. What is that connective tissue that we need to stay together, to stay united? Where are the places of real relationship today? How can we foster in ourselves the practices and ideas that bring us together instead of those that push us apart? So as I was meditating on this thing this week, the first thing that popped to my mind was school, right? High school, college, seminary, the places where I was part of a community of people, taking the same classes, interacting with the same people, working in close proximity. Just about anybody who I was with throughout college and seminary and even high school, I have an instant connection to that person, a shared history. There's something about that shared struggle that knits us together as human beings. Those shared struggles can take many forms, and each of you have had a moment in your life where you have had a shared struggle with somebody. Whether it was through cancer treatments, support groups, a big work project, co-workers, traveling abroad, any experience where we relied upon one another to make it through whatever obstacle you were all facing. And that connection runs deep. You probably could tell me right now the names of those people that you share that history with, those people you went through something big. It is next to impossible to manufacture these types of experiences, and often we don't choose the people we walk with through our struggles. And yet through it, we learn how to transcend any differences in pursuit of a goal. The other thing that I thought about as we were talking about the things that bind us together were shared interests. Whether you're into foosball or movies, a certain brand of politics, birding, architecture, there are people out there who love it just as much as you do. And when you find someone who shares the interest, it's on. Hours can fly by like this. Nick and I love movies. And whenever I'm talking to Nick, oh boy, we could just continue to talk. When you have someone that you share interest with, you feel a connection to that person. It feels like an inviting person to talk with, and you connect, you unite. This is why people love going to conventions, right? Star Wars connection. We all love Star Wars. We're all together. It's great. Because it feels like everybody is united around this one thing that gathers people, right? Finally, the last thing that I thought about this uniting thing is I have personally seen how food and music can bring people together. Last weekend, Ann and I celebrated her birthday up at a wonderful restaurant in the Short North, Marcella's, and I had the giant meatball. But when we walked into this restaurant, it was alive. It was amazing. Any of y'all ever been to the Short North? It's kind of nutty over there anyways because there's just so much energy and funness and good food and everything. But we walked in, And everybody had food on their table and drinks, and it was just alive. You could feel the energy. And there were these people around tables laughing, talking, having conversation. And I was reminded of how food can do that. This weekend's a perfect example of that, right? We come together for 4th of July, and we grill, and we gather, right, around the table. And how that brings people together in ways that it normally would not. And this church, I think, for music is a testament to how music can be brought, bring us together. The gift of music in performing or listening and its harmonies and its rhythm can heal us, can evoke emotion. And when we bring together our voices in song and we sing, it brings us together. And it's funny, as you read about music, there have been studies about world music. And they've studied the similarities between music and how it acts as a social glue for all cultures, that it unites folks. So as these ties that bind rolled through my head this week, it struck me that church, when at its best, is living out each and every one of the things I just mentioned in its daily life. That we as Christians struggle together for a common calling, a common mission, witnessing to the love and grace of Jesus Christ. That we're united through a shared love of Jesus Christ. We eat at the table. And we join our bodies and our voices and music expressing joy and lament. And when churches fail, it's because they have forgotten to follow through on each one of these unifying practices. So the question becomes then, what is our motivation to stay together? What binds all four of these unifying practices together? Why do we do what we do, and even why do we even bother working for true communion with our neighbor when society is telling us that old institutions like the church are outdated paradigms that need to be discarded? That the church is a dinosaur that is about to go extinct. What motivates us to keep working to build bridges, to do what we do here every Sunday, coming together, eating at the table, sharing in our struggles, singing? What motivates us to keep building bridges and to heal the broken places in our world when the news tells us it is hopeless? I get why people who like to go birding stay together. Like to hang out, right? Hey, you want to go? Let's go see some birds. And they get together and they get their binoculars and it's great. I get why people go to high school reunions, right? You have this shared history. You want to see old friends, have that people that you share that history with. And I get why you want to go to a concert to see a band you love, because everybody's together, united around this band. But what is it about church? Why? Why are we together? The Apostle Paul, in writing his letters, he tried to write these letters to teach these brand new churches the reason they were bound together despite their many differences and disagreements. And they had a lot. In our reading from Colossians, and in a reading from 1 Corinthians 13, and that in what he says there, Paul states it clearly. Love binds us together. And this is not a romantic puppy dog love. This is love that's shown in a way only God could love. A love that dared to humble himself to become one of us. The love that walked with us, teaching us a new way, teaching us a way beyond what we thought was the only way to live, and a love that went to the cross for us, taking all the worst that we had to offer him and take it and saying, I still love you. That is a love that we're called to. It is a love that binds each of us together. As all of us have different ways of living, different thoughts on politics and everything else, the food you like, your hobbies, your interests, and yet every Sunday we come together to celebrate a love that is beyond anything that we could ever imagine. And we hold on to that love, knowing that together we're stronger than we are individually. As Christians, we believe that something powerful happened 2,000 years ago. That we're given a love without earning it or deserving it. And so in response, we share the love and grace with friend and stranger, neighbor and family. It is why church is still worth it. This is why we struggle alongside one another. This love we share from God transcends our social, political, personal differences. And so as a church, we should seek to live out that unity. And we're going to do that today as we take from the table. Live out that unity most fully in our love of God and neighbor. Remember that before we could choose, God chose us. And now as a church, God has chosen for us people to walk with. You see all these people gathered here today. Look at your neighbor. God has chosen this person for you to walk with to this day and this time. Some of them are hard to love. There's no doubt. Right? Some are difficult to show grace to. Some we have personal differences with. Some we have political differences with. And yet, we're not all here because we love Star Wars, right? We're here because God has called us together to be a grace-filled and loving community that shares the love of Christ. That love that shows no bounds. That love that dared to love us even when we were unlovable. Let us go forth and share that love and remind ourselves that we are together for a purpose. Show that, share that, and continue to live that in your life and every decision you make. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.